على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد، الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب, he continues in his Risala and his treatise, the final and last principle, in which he says, الأصل الثالث, the third principle, معرفة نبيكم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, to have knowledge of your Lord, of your Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So we've covered the knowledge of your Lord, we've covered the knowledge of your religion with evidences, and now inshallah we are covering the knowledge of your Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهو محمد بن عبد الله بن عبد المطلب بن هاشم. And he was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim. And Hashim was from the tribe of Quraysh. Quraysh were from the Arabs, and the Arabs have descended from Ismail, the son of Ibrahim, the chosen beloved, the Khalil. May the most excellent blessings and peace be upon him and upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's giving almost like a life story. He said he lived for 63 years, 40 years before prophethood, and 23 years as a prophet and a messenger. He was sent as a prophet with Iqra, meaning the beginning of Surah Al-Alaq, and as a messenger with Surah Muddathir. What does this mean? He said he was sent as a Nabi with Surah Al-Alaq, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. He was sent as a Nabi, as a prophet. It wasn't actually ordered to make tabligh. It wasn't ordered to call others to the religion of Islam as yet. At this point, he was just ordered to call himself to the religion of Islam, practice the religion of Islam. And then 3 years later, يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر. Allah says, oh, you who is يعني مدثر, wrapped in garments of such, covered, get up and warn. Stand up and warn the people. And this is when he became a Rasul, a messenger. He was ordered to make tabligh. He was ordered to call others to the religion of Islam. This is 3 years after prophethood. So he was a prophet for 3 years, some scholars say, and then he became a messenger. His land was Makkah, and he performed hijrah to Al-Madinah. So he made hijrah, or he migrated from Makkah to Medina, when Allah Ta'ala ordered him to do so. And this is where the Islamic calendar, when we say hijri or after hijrah, this is where the Islamic calendar begins. It begins zero hijrah, is the year that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made hijrah. So we're in what, 1421? Or 1420? 21? Okay, whatever. So we're about 1400 years after the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah sent him to warn against shirk and to call to tawheed. And the proof of this, wad-daleel, قوله تعالى, the evidence of this is a statement of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرُ قُمْ فَأَنْذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَّهِّرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. So Allah says, oh, you who is wrapped up in garments, meaning The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, arise and warn your people and venerate your Lord and purify your garments and shun the idols and do not give anything in order to receive something more in return and patiently persevere, have patience for the sake of your Lord. Surah Muddathir. And the Shaykh says, وَمَعْنَا قُمْ فَأَنْذِرْ يُنْذِرُ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ وَيَدْعُوا إِلَى التَّرْحِيدِ. And the meaning of get up and warn, stand and warn, arise and warn your people, is that he has to warn against shirk and to call to tawheed. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. And magnify your Lord. It means honor him, venerate him with tawheed. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَحْهِرْ. Purify yourself and your garments and your deeds. But the word in Arabic is thiyab, plural of thawb, or garment. So, he's been told to purify his garment. And the tafsir here is purify your action from any shirk. Because Allah, in another ayah, he mentions, he uses the word libas, or garment, another word for garment. Libas of taqwa, the garment of taqwa, the garment of fear of Allah as such, taqwa. وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. Make hijrah away from the rujz, from the idols, shun them, get away from them. Because this means a rujz is the idols, and hajr of them means shunning them, and freeing and disassociating oneself from them and their people. So he said he carried out this duty for 10 years, calling to Tawheed, and after 10 years he was taken up through the heavens, and he's a mi'raj. And after, and then in this, during this time when he was taken up to the heavens, 5 prayers were obligated upon him. And he prayed in Mecca for 3 years, and then he was commanded to perform hijrah to Al-Madinah. So in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ, the prayers that are now 4 rak'ahs, they used to pray 2 rak'ahs in Mecca. In Medina it became 4 rak'ahs. The prayer of the traveler was still 2 rak'ahs. We're talking about Dhuhr, Asr and Isha here. And the prayer of the resident was increased to 4 rak'ahs. This was in Medina. So he prayed in Mecca for 3 years, and then he was commanded to perform hijrah to Al-Madinah. And then the Shaykh explains what is hijrah. Hijrah is migrating from the land of shirk to the land of Islam. And hijrah from the land of shirk to the land of Islam is an obligation upon this ummah. And it continues until the last hour. Because some people began to say that there's no hijrah. So he mentioned that the hijrah, it continues until the last hour. And he brings the proof. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا فَأُولَئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يحتدون سبيلا فأولئك عسى الله أن يعفو عنهم وكان الله غفورا رحيما. He brings the proof for Hijrah. As for those whose souls the angels take while they are wronging themselves, the angels say to them, in what condition were you on the earth? They reply, we were weak and oppressed on the earth. So the angels say, was not the earth of Allah spacious enough so that you may emigrate therein? Such men will find their abode in hell. What an evil destination, except for the weak ones amongst the men, women and children who are unable to migrate or find a way to do so. As for such, it may be that Allah will pardon them, and Allah is ever one who pardons and forgives the sins of His servants. And also, as proof, he brings the statement of Allah Ta'ala, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ أَرْضِي وَاسِعَةٌ فَإِيَّايَ فَاعْبُدُونَ. That, oh my servants who believe in me, who have iman in me, indeed my earth is spacious, so worship me. So make your worship for me alone. Meaning, flee from the shirk and kufr and disbelief and polytheism and worship Allah after making hijrah if you are unable to do so. So he continues, he says, Al-Baghawi rahmatullah alayh. He said, but this ayah was sent down with regards to the Muslims who were in Makkah who did not migrate. Allah still addressed them with a title of Iman. Meaning that if they didn't make hijrah, it's not something that's kufr or takes someone outside the fold of Islam. Because Allah still said, Ya Ibadi, you are my servants, oh my servants. Okay, so they're still Muslims. So the Shaykh continues, so when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I missed a bit. The Shaykh continues, he says, the proof for the hijrah found in the sunnah is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hijrah will not be discontinued until repentance is discontinued. And repentance will not be discontinued until the sun rises from its place of setting, proving that hijrah doesn't end until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then he continues, when he settled in Medina, he ordered the rest of the prescribed duties of Islam, such as the zakah, the salah, the prayer, the hajj, the jihad, and the adhan, the commanding of good and forbidding of evil, and the rest of the prescribed duties of Islam. So we find that in Medina, Allah addresses the Muslims and commands them with things that they weren't able to do in Mecca, because it was difficult enough proclaiming their faith in Allah alone and their faith that Allah, and you know, proclaiming that that worship is due to Allah alone, let alone the other various acts of worship that came afterwards. So he spent 10 years establishing that, after which he passed away. And then he makes a dua for him, may Allah extol and send blessings of peace upon him. And his religion remains, and this is his religion. There is no good except that he guided his ummah to it, and no evil except that he warned them against it. He's talking about bid'ah and innovations in the religion. If the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not order something, it can't be something that is good in the sense of the religious sense. So for example, if he ordered, as I keep using this example, the Fajr prayer to be 2 rak'ahs, and a person uses his intellect and thinks 4 rak'ahs will be better than 2, let us now pray Salatul Fajr 2 rak'ahs every day. There's not something good. 4 is better than 2, let us pray 4 rak'ahs of Fajr every day. It's not something good. Good is only that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed, and that is 2 rak'ahs. So the good that he called them to was the Tawheed, and all that Allah loves and is pleased with. Remember our definition of Ibadah, which Allah loves and is pleased with. And the evil that he warned against was a shirk, and all that Allah hates and rejects. Allah sent him as a messenger to all of the people, and Allah made it obligatory upon all the jinn and mankind to obey him. The proof of this is the saying of Allah the Most High, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. O mankind, say, O Muhammad, to all of the people, O mankind, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. Through him, Allah completed the religion, and the proof is the saying of Allah the Most High, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَكْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضَيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I have completed your religion for you and perfected my blessings upon you, and I'm pleased with Islam as your religion. So anyone who seeks to add something to the religion, then let him know and fear Allah, because Allah has completed this religion. He's happy, completed his favor, and he's happy with the religion of Islam for the people. Nothing more and nothing less. وَالْدَلِيلُ عَلَىٰ مَوْتِهِ. And then he continues. He says, and the evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died is a statement of Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ. Which means, O Muhammad, you will soon die, and your people, they will also die. Then on the day of resurrection, you will all dispute before your Lord, until everyone oppressed receives their right from the oppressor, and judgment is established between them. In truth. So many people think that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still alive in the worldly sense. Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, and this is a proof of that. And when the people die, he continues, they will be resurrected. And the evidence is a statement of Allah Ta'ala, مِنْهَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From it, talking about the earth, from the earth we created you, O mankind. And to it we shall return you after death, and from it we shall raise you to life yet again. So we shall definitely be brought back to life, resurrected. And also a statement of Allah Ta'ala, he says, and Allah created you from the dust of the earth. وَاللَّهُ أَمَّتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. And Allah created you from the dust of the earth, and He will cause you to return to being dust within the earth, and then He will bring you forth and restore you to life. O after the resurrection, the people will be brought to account and will be rewarded or punished for their actions. So now he's finished, he's really finished the three principles, and he's basically just going on to explain some matters connected with these principles. If we pause here in terms of the sharp of the book, or we take a step back, we'll return to this inshallah, and we look at some of the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is the third principle. Who is your messenger? Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad, he's been ordered to tell the people, if you love Allah, then follow me. Follow me, follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. Likewise Allah says, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. That the messenger, the prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. And this is supported by the narration of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, in which he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everything else in the world except my own self. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, not yet, O Umar. So Umar radiallahu an, he thought to himself, and then he realized that he actually does love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than his own self. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, now I love you more than everything else, including my own self. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ana ya Umar, now, O Umar, meaning now you have perfected Iman. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you has iman, true iman, until I am more beloved to him than his father, his son, and the whole of mankind. So we can understand that part of iman is to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Thalathatun man kunna fihi wajada halawat al-iman." There are three things if a person finds inside himself, he has found or tasted the sweetness of iman. And the first thing that he mentioned is an yakun Allah wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma. That Allah and his messenger, they are more beloved to him than everything other than them. Everything else. But there's no Muslim who will say, I don't love the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You'll find that the Muslim, his blood boils, no matter how, in quotes, pious this person may be. His blood will boil if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cursed or is spoken about in a bad way. But this love, if we look around, seems to be something that's just very verbal. Something only on the tongue. It's almost like a fake love. The true love of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here. Because if you look towards reality, true love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mean that we would follow him in everything that he said and did. We would know about his seerah. If we were to ask people about the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many people could stand up and tell even 10 incidents from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many people could name the wives of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah describes them as ummahat, the mothers of the believers? We don't know the names of our own mothers. If we look towards the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find much benefit. We find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one who was tested the most. For example, in Makkah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tortured much from the mushrikeen, from the polytheists, both physically and mentally. They would warn against him, saying he's a madman, a poet, a magician, a soothsayer. In fact, they would place a person in the outskirts of Makkah, on the outskirts of Makkah, such that if any new individual comes, a new person comes, they could warn against him, warn against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't listen to him. And this torture continued until one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making sujood or sajda, prostrating to Allah, to his Lord, outside the Kaaba. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mushrikeen of Makkah saw him, and one of them had the audacity to say, "Which of you has the courage to go and get this carcass from the junkyard of Makkah, bring it back and throw it on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" So one of them got up. It's actually his uncle, Abu Jahl, who said this. So one of them got up, and he went to the outskirts of Makkah, picked up this huge carcass, dripping with blood, intestine of the animal. Picked it up, brought it back to the Kaaba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in sujood. He was still in sujood with his prayer. And he threw this carcass on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was so heavy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fell over. And the mushrikeen of Makkah, they began to laugh so loudly that they themselves, as one narrator narrates, they themselves fell over laughing. And then Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, a girl of 5 or 6 years old at the time, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was told, and she came running, ya abati, oh my father," and she helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he couldn't get up, move this carcass. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to get up, and he made a dua. He said, "Allahumma alayka bihaula, oh Allah, I leave you to deal with these people. I leave you, oh Allah, to deal with such people." So the narrator, the sub-narrator of this hadith, he says, "Wallahi, I saw every single one of these people dead, lying flat on their faces in the Battle of Badr." In the Battle of Uhud, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Uqba ibn Rabi', he threw a spear and it went through the cheek of our Messenger, Sayyid al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, the leader of the Prophets and Messengers, Khairul Khalq, the best of creation, went through his cheek, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his molar tooth fell out. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what he said? Rahmatun lil alameen. He said, "How can Allah show mercy to a people who have done this to their Prophet?" He didn't make a dua against them. This Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was concerned for these people. How will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive them because of what they have done for their Prophet, against their Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is why Allah said, Allah Ta'ala from above the seven heavens says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you, O Muhammad, we have not sent you except as a mercy to all the worlds. This is our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the example that we are ordered to follow. after 10 years of giving da'wah in Makkah, and the da'wah was not that successful, comparatively speaking, his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. And this wife, I mean, you can imagine, the woman who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to, he didn't go to his friend, he went to his wife when the revelation came to him. First, he said, wrap me up in garments, in blanket, cover me. She must have been a very amazing woman for him to do this. And as is known from the Arabs, especially of that time, this is not something that they would do. Many commentators have mentioned this, that they would do. They would not go to their wives for help. It seemed as something degrading. It was seen at that time. Yet the Prophet ﷺ went to his wife Khadija. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha died in this year. This was known as the Aam al-Huzn, a year of sorrow or grief. And in this same year, Abu Talib, his uncle, died as a disbeliever, not having taken the shahada, La ilaha illallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was grief stricken. In this year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam walked barefoot, in sandals rather, to Ta'if. And he did not find a cup of tea waiting for him. He didn't find a warm welcome. Rather, he found the children of Makkah, of Ta'if, throwing stones at him. So much so, brothers and sisters, so much so, that his feet were covered in blood. His sandals were covered in blood. Can you imagine? When we give da'wah to the people, and we may be shunned and warned against, character assassinated, let us think of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he had stones thrown at him by the children of the people of Ta'if. And when he had to run from this place, and he stopped at the outskirts of Ta'if, and Jibreel alayhi salam came to him and said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. He said, Wa alaykum as-salam ya Jibreel. He said, Oh, Messenger of Allah, Allah has ordered me to come with the angel who is in charge of the mountains. And he told me that if you just say yes, he will lift up this mountain and throw it on the people of Ta'if. We all know the story. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Did he say, yes, let me take advantage of this. Let me get my revenge for these people. No. He said, La ya Jibreel, no, O Jibreel. No. Instead, I make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that even though he did not bless us, or bless these people with Islam, I make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses their children, their offspring, such that they can become Muslims and they may be saved from the hellfire and may go to the paradise. This was our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose example we must follow. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except as a mercy to the mankind. Allah said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He says that you are built upon a great and noble character. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah testifies this. And there's much to say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Including that Jabir ibn Samra, he went out one night in a night in which the moon was full, bright. And he said, I looked and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing dressed in a red cloak. He said, I looked at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then I looked at the full moon. I turned and I looked at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once more. And I looked at the full moon again. I looked at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I looked at the full moon. I looked once again to the face of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wallahi, his face was more beautiful than the full moon. So the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he was suffered from a fever, and it was quite a terrible fever. He couldn't even walk to the masjid. He had to be carried by his companions. And the second to last day, at this point, he ordered Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to lead the prayers. It was almost like a hint that the next Khalif should be Abu Bakr. And this is a recitation of those who curse Abu Bakr. May Allah curse them or guide them. That even in the last days of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he still ordered Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. So the second day, before the last day of his life, he called for 7 bags of cold water to lower his fever. And then he ordered to be carried into the masjid. And he exhorted the people and told them, go and make jihad, because there was an army attacking at that time. And then he said this statement, brothers and sisters. He said, a servant of Allah has been given the choice between this dunya, this life, and the akhirah, and he has chosen the akhirah. And the companions were happy that a servant of Allah has been given the choice between this life and the akhirah, and he's chosen the akhirah, mashallah. All except Abu Bakr, who began to cry. And Umar said later, I wondered why Abu Bakr was crying at this point. It's because Abu Bakr understood that the servant of Allah that he was talking about was himself. He's been given the choice, and he took the choice of the Akhirah. It means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to die. So on the day of his death, it seemed as though he was going to get better. And he went sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the masjid while the people were in prayer, and Abu Bakr was leading the prayer, and the Sahaba began to clap in prayer in order to show the Imam that something strange has happened. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come. And so Abu Bakr took a step back. The day of his death, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pushed him forward, continued to lead, and he sat down and prayed behind Abu Bakr. So at this time, the Sahaba, they thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was getting better. Even Abu Bakr thought this. So he asked, Ya Rasulullah, can I go and visit one of my families who is in the outskirts of Medina? Because he hadn't gone due to the fever of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him permission. So he went. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back to the room of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And his fever became stronger and more severe. Until he put his head down on the lap of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Aisha, well, he put his head on the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha. And during this time, one of the Sahaba walked in, and he was using a miswak, a toothpick. And Aisha radiallahu anha, knowing her husband, the Prophet could not speak at this time. She said, would you like a toothstick, miswak, because she knew that her husband loved cleanliness. And he loved to use this toothstick, and miswak, siwak. And so the Prophet ﷺ nodded. So she got this toothstick, bit off the end, and made it a little soft, and gave it to the Prophet ﷺ, still on his lap, on her lap. And he began to clean his teeth. The Prophet ﷺ, Aisha said, cleaned his teeth at this time in a way that I had never seen him clean his teeth before. It was as though he was preparing to meet his Lord. It was as though he was preparing to meet his Lord. And then she heard him say, "Al-Rafiqul A'la, Al-Rafiqul A'la, the companionship I want of the high ones," meaning the angels. And she said at this point, I remembered the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that every Prophet and Messenger gets a choice if he wants to live or die. And I knew that he had chosen to die and to be with the companion in the companionship of the angels. And he said, "Ah, ala lil mawti sakarat." He said, "Ah," he screamed in pain. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam screamed in pain. And he said, "Ah, indeed, maut, death has its pangs, sakarat." And then he closed his eyes. And the news began to spread in Makkah, in Medina, sorry. Until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard and he came back. And Umar radiallahu anhu stood outside the mosque. He could not believe that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who guided them from darkness into light, was sent as a messenger and as a mercy to mankind. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, you've lived with, amongst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's passed away right in front of you? Umar radiallahu anhu could not believe this. And he took out his sword outside the masjid and he shouted, "Whoever says that Muhammad has died, indeed, he's a hypocrite. Muhammad has not died." Because he could not believe it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came, he went into the house, into the quarters of his daughter Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he said, "How beautiful are you, both when you're dead and when you were alive." And then he covered the face of the Prophet ﷺ with the shroud. He saw the muskarat, the smile of the Prophet ﷺ. And he went to the masjid. And he told Umar radiallahu anhu to calm down. "Ala rasfika ya Umar. Calm down." And he said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan, fa inna Muhammadan qad mat." That whoever worships Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever used to worship him, then let him know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has indeed died. "Waman kana ya'budu Allah, waman kana ya'budu Allah, fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." And whoever worships Allah, then let him know that Allah is ever living and he never dies. Umar radiallahu anhu said, it was as though my feet from below me had been chopped off, had been taken away from below me, because it had finally hit me that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finally passed away. This is a very short account of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he chose why he is the messenger of Allah. Why was he chosen to be the best of creation? He is Al-Amin, As-Sadiq, the truthful one, the trustworthy one. How is it possible that we don't believe a person who had the characteristics that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had? It's not possible that a person cannot believe him and accept that he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we go back to the text of the book, Thalathatul Usul, the three fundamental principles. The Shaykh Muhammad continues that after the resurrection, the people will be brought to account and will be rewarded or punished for their actions. And the proof of this is the saying of Allah the Most High. لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. That the proof of this is so that he may requite those who did evil by what they did, and that he may reward those who did good with what is best. And what is meant here is the paradise. It continues, and whoever denies the resurrection, he has disbelieved. Kafara, is disbelieved. And the proof is the saying of Allah the Most High. The unbelievers claim that Allah will not resurrect them after death. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by my Lord you will certainly be resurrected from your grave, and then you will be informed of the deeds which you did in this world, in the world, and that is easy for Allah. So he's talking about the resurrection. Allah sent all of the messengers as bringers of good tidings and as warners, bashira wa nazira, as those who give good news. Good news of what? Good news of paradise to the people of tawheed and the people of iman. And as warners. Warners of what? We explained warners against shirk and kufr, and warners from the hellfire. And the proof of this is a statement of Allah the Most High, when he says, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةً بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. That he sent messengers who were sent with the good news as warners, and as warners so that those who disbelieve in Allah may have no excuse to avoid punishment. Meaning, as a hujjah, they won't have an excuse on the Day of Judgment. Allah sent them the guidance via the messengers. And he says, the first of them was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and the last of them was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the proof that the first of them was Nuh alayhi salam is the saying of Allah the Most High, we have sent you, O Muhammad, as a messenger with revelation, just as we sent revelation to Nuh and the messengers after him. Adam alayhi salam was a prophet, not a messenger. So he said, just as we sent a messenger to Nuh and the messengers, a revelation to Nuh and the messengers after him. And also in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said that the people will come to Nuh and say to him, "You are the first messenger whom Allah sent to the people of the earth." He's talking about the hadith of Shafa'ah, when they will go to the various prophets and messengers, and they'll say, you know, the various different things. And they'll say to Adam alayhi salam, "You're the father," and so on and so forth, so intercede for us. And then they'll say to Nuh alayhi salam, "You're the first messenger, so intercede for us." Then he says, Allah sent a messenger to every nation, from Nuh until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, commanding them to worship Allah alone and forbidding them from the worship of At-Tahut. And At-Tahut, he explains later, that let's just say everything that is worshipped besides Allah and is pleased with it at the moment. He says, and the proof of this is the saying of Allah the Most High, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. And that we sent to every nation a messenger proclaiming worship Allah alone and keep away from طَاغُوتِ. So this is a proof that every nation was sent a messenger. He continues, and Allah obligated upon all of His servants to reject kufr, and al-kufra bit-tahut, which means to reject and disassociate oneself and disbelieve in at-tahut, and to have iman in Allah. And then he brings a statement from Ibn al-Qayyim. When Ibn al-Qayyim rahmahullah ta'ala said, that at-tahut is anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, obeyed or followed. So when someone goes into ghulu, excessiveness, like worshipping the prophets and so on and so forth. So he continues, he said, and ta'ghut, there are many. And the heads of these ta'ghut are five. The first is Iblis. May Allah's curse be upon him. The second, whoever is worshipped and is pleased with that, is a ta'ghut, a false deity. Thirdly, whoever calls the people to the worship of himself. Fourthly, whoever claims to possess anything from the knowledge of the affairs of the hidden and unseen, from the ghayb. And fifthly, whoever judges by other than that which Allah has sent down. And then he finishes, he says, what? And the evidence is a statement of Allah Ta'ala, لا إكراه في الدين. The proof is a statement of Allah the Most High, no one is to be compelled to enter the religion. There's no compulsion in religion. True guidance has been made clear and distinct from falsehood. So whoever rejects at-tahut, all that's worship besides Allah, and truly believes and worships Allah alone, then he has grasped the firmest handhold, the urwat al-wufqa, the handhold that will never break. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, he says. Then he finishes off, and in the hadith, Rasul Amri al-Islam, wa amuduhu as-salah, that the head of the affair is al-Islam, and its supporting pillar is the prayer. وَذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And its highest part is jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh rahmahullah ta'ala, he concludes this risala, this treatise, by saying, Wallahu a'lamu wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That, and Allah knows best, showing His humility. And may Allah extol and send blessings of peace upon Muhammad, His true followers, and His companions. So this, he finishes this, these three fundamental principles of Islam. I hope that inshallah Allah allows us to have benefited, both myself and yourself, from the series of lectures. I ask Allah to be of those, if we go back to the first part of this risala, to be of those who have this knowledge now, such that we can go away and act upon this knowledge, to call to this knowledge, and to display patience upon giving da'wah and acting on this knowledge. I ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make us of those who are muwahhidun, those people of tawheed, the muttaqoon, the people who have taqwa of Allah, fear of Allah. I ask Allah ta'ala to make us of the mu'mineen, the muslimin, and the muhsineen. I ask Allah ta'ala to keep us away from any form of shirk, major or minor, open or hidden. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.